This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now back to Dean Blundell and Company. Download the Sportsnet app in the App Store. Then listen online and on your phone. Toronto Sports Radio, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hi. Dean Blundell and Company for Monday, the 29th day of August. Lots to get to. How about those Toronto Blue Jays? Now two games clear of the second place Boston Red Sox. Boston gets just spanked yesterday by the Kansas City Royals. 10-4? Was that the final score of the Boston game? 10-3? 10-4?
10-4, Dean.
10-4, thank you.
10-4.
10-4, good buddy. 10-4, Dean.
Yeah, we got spanked like bad stepchildren. 10-4.
So there you go. Good for the Jays. They sweep the Twins this weekend. They score 32 runs. I just so you guys know and have full faith in my ability to call something.
Okay.
Yesterday pregame, someone asked me for a line on the series score, total runs scored. And let me just take you back to yesterday. It's 12:30.
Yeah.
And I tweet, it's actually at 10:54 a.m. There's a timestamp on it. That's how great Twitter is. Some guy from Toronto Inline says, hey, add it's Dean Blundell. Any chance you can fire off a quick final score prediction for the series? Thanks, man. Love the show. I say, Jays 32, Twins 21. Drum roll, please. What was the final run scored in the series, George?
I'm assuming it's really close to that number.
32-21.
That's no bad. Way.
Wow. 32-21. So I played a parlay yesterday.
Yeah?
I won $750,000.
Well, that's not bad.
No, I didn't win. And that was a total guess. But it's just when it's in you, it's in you. You know, I listened to your sports show this weekend, Inside the Lines, your gambling show.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for your support.
It's sponsored by Sports Interaction. You're welcome. And I thought, these guys don't know what they're talking about. They need me. Big time.
We need your crystal ball.
32-21, 10:54 a.m. yesterday morning, I called it. It's a curse. It's what
being
it is.
All the time?
Yeah. And I, for one, don't like it. I mean, you know, there's got to be a point where you look at yourself in the mirror and you go, I'm fallible. But I don't know if there's a day that's gone by where I've been, you know, wrong.
So how far You're ahead right, in the future can you actually see?
How far do you want to go?
Oh, no.
Yep. Think of like Michael J. Fox prior to all that stuff that happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
In a DeLorean. But the DeLorean is my ability to gamble.
Nice.
I may or may not have a guy I place bets with.
Okay.
Haven't had to pay him in 4 years.
He must love taking calls from you then.
No, he doesn't.
I'm surprised he hasn't changed his number. If I was taking bets from a dude I keep paying out, I'm changing my number.
Well, you can't because so many other people have it, right? Anyway, ask him. It's tough. Listen, if you guys need any help, shoot me a note.
All right.
Interesting. Our Twitter poll question is up, in case you haven't had a look. At it's Dean Blundell. Should national anthems be played at sporting events? Your support or lack thereof for national anthems is extremely evident. 54% say no. Almost 300 votes. There's still only 24 hours left to vote. 300 people have said no. Why? This, of course, on the heels of Colin Kaepernick the other day, sitting for the national anthem because he wants to stand up for people of color and black people who have been oppressed in America won't stand up for a flag that allows that. Says he's going to continue to sit until such period of time that doesn't exist anymore. So my guess is he's never going to stand up for another national anthem for the rest of his life.
And what an awkward situation for the Niners, too.
Yeah.
He was already a fringe guy there. Is he going to be the starting quarterback? Is he not? Blaine Gabbert's probably going to get the start in week one. But now how can they cut him? And you brought up the great example. You're going to fire a guy, and all of a sudden he comes to you right before you're going to fire him. Oh, I have a big time, you know, I'm a big time
alcoholic. I'm addicted to glue and Listerine. I've got it bad. You can't fire me. Then your employer's like this. Oh, for crying out loud.
Yeah. How can I fire you now?
Or you're going to fire have a lot of issues. You're going to fire a young lady, and she comes to you and she goes, I'm pregnant. And you're like, oh man.
It's true, though.
Colin Kaepernick just basically guaranteed himself some type of job security for the next little while.
Because how can the Niners cut him today? How would that look?
Terrible.
And they can try to spin it like, actually, his performance has been really poor. Okay, but you're
cutting
him.
But no one will believe him.
Exactly.
And everybody that stands up for, as you should, oppressed peoples around the world in the United States of America, and everybody that identifies with his cause will be standing right behind him on the bandwagon saying, Colin, Trent Baalke, a racist, and the Niners organization, a bunch of racists. So it's going to get hot. It's going to get fun. We'll see what happens. I love stuff like this. Also, Tony Romo broke his back, so we get some NFL news coming up in a few minutes. But the big news, of course, from the weekend, the Toronto Blue Jays just give it to the Twins over a three-game span. They win all three by like a million runs, a couple of nice come-from-behind wins, and a banner day for Josh Donaldson yesterday with more. Here's Georgie with an update. Hi, George.
Hi, Dean. The Blue Jays tried to sweep away the Minnesota Twins down at Rogers Center yesterday to close out their six-game homestand. The Jays sent 41-year-old knuckleballer R.A. Dickey to the mound in search of his 10th win of the season. The Blue Jays would give the Dickey the lead in the bottom of the first.
Pitch to him. Fly ball center field. Tagging Bautista. Under it, Danny Santana. He comes in, makes the catch. Here comes Jose. Here comes the throw. It's on its way. And Jose steps around the catcher. Scores, standing up as the ball squirts to the Blue Jays' third base dugout. Blue Jays in flight on a double and two fly balls, leading the Twins 1-0.
Yes, Jerry Howard on Sportsnet 590. The fan that Jose Bautista double was played like a bag of toys by Twins outfielders Robbie Grossman and Danny Santana, who collided and let the ball drop in. Santana had to leave the game and was replaced by Eddie Rosario. So 1-0 Blue Jays until the top of the third, where the Twinkies would strike off the 41-year-old trick pitcher. Hey, did you know, Dean, that unintentional injuries are the top cause of death among men ages 40 to 44? Among middle-aged men, fatalities are more likely to result from falling asleep at the wheel.
I literally know all this because you did this entire thing last hour.
This is a new one.
Oh, is it?
This is a new fact.
I wasn't paying attention.
Did you know that unintentional injuries are the top cause of death among men 40 to 44?
No.
Among middle-aged men, fatalities are more likely to result from falling asleep at the wheel, exceeding the speed limit, getting into an accident at an intersection, or on weekends after midnight.
Wow.
So if you're 40 to 44, make sure you're awake.
One out. Here's Kepler. He struck out. First time up. He hits a ground ball off the leg of Dickey. It ricochets to second. Travis backhand toss to Tulo. Back to first. Not in time. Coming in to score, Rosario to tie the game at one, and that was almost one of the most spectacular double plays you're going to see.
Yeah, almost, Jerry. 1-1 heading to the bottom half of the inning where the MVP would bring the rain.
Donaldson rips one deep left field. Yes, sir. Let's admire that one. There she goes into the 200 level. Number 31 for Josh Donaldson, a seven-game hitting streak and a Blue Jays 2-1 lead over the Twins.
Yeah, he mashed that home run. The Blue Jays would hold on to that lead until the top of the fifth, where the Twins would strike again against the 41-year-old hope tosser. Speaking of being 41, Dean, did you know that men over the age of 40 have the highest exposure of damaging UV rays?
Yeah, because you did that one last hour. That I was listening for.
Well, I'm just warning people who are in that age.
The 1-2 pitch to Sano. Swung on and lined into center field. That's a base hit. In to score is Maurer. Right behind him is Plouffe. And Miguel Sano with a big blow here. The Twins lead up to 5-2.
Yeah, Max Kepler's RBI ground out, Trevor Plouffe's RBI single, and that Miguel Sano 2 RBI single gave the Twins the 5-2 lead.
Can I interject here?
Sure.
So Max Kepler didn't have a great day the other day. And a great weekend and a great series. So did this Grossman guy in left field. It seems they have issues fielding the ball.
Yeah.
So if you are, and this is just me kind of going through parts of the series, specifically parts that matter to the Toronto Blue Jays. You're Melvin Upton, and you lace a single, and you think it's going to fall for a single, but it looks like the guy's making a break for it. He might catch it.
Yeah.
This is Max Kepler. It's in the eighth inning. Jays are down by two. And you lace one to right field. By the way, Melvin goes oppo a lot. Do you notice that?
Yeah.
He's really good. He's a really good baseball player. And you miss the ball so spectacular, like not by a little bit. You dive and you're still short 7 to 10 feet.
Yeah.
And you're a young baseball player. You turn around and you go chase that ball down. You better make sure you pick it up. He turned around, ran to the fence to go retrieve the ball that just careened off the fence and came back, and kicked it. And then the best part was the center fielder, Rosario, who came to back him up. After he was trying to pick it up, and Kepler came back and kicked it. So he really should have got charged with two errors. I don't know if he did. But it was maybe one of the funniest plays. You talk about a bag of toys and playing the outfield like a bag of toys, like Grossman and the center fielder that collided yesterday on that first inning double by Jose Bautista, and one of the dudes had to leave the game. I don't know that I've ever seen a team more not prepared to play baseball.
They looked ridiculously sloppy.
But it was so funny. Well, when Kepler slid and he tried to get the ball, like he slid feet first towards the ball, which I don't understand, and he kicked it past Rosario, and then he pointed to it like, oh, there it is. It's over there now. It's over there. I was pissing my pants laughing. I thought it was the best.
And when you're in dead last place, why not try to dive and catch that ball? Really? Really? Does it matter? You might as well roll the dice.
Yeah.
Make a great game. Hey, look at me. I made a great catch. Whoops. Oh, well.
That was funny.
Max Kepler's RBI ground out, Trevor Plouffe's RBI single, and that Miguel Sano 2 RBI single gave the Twins the 5-2 lead after 5. R.A. Dickey would go one more inning and was done after tossing 6 innnings of 5-run, 6-hitter. Only 3 runs were charged to him. The 41-year-old was playing the old excuse trombone post-game.
It seems that, like, that's the story of my career, you know, a peculiar inning. And 70% of my outings, it seems. And if I can just arrest the damage in one of those innings, and it's usually going to be a good game.
I'm going to miss him. Next season.
I'm not going to miss that. It's all, and it's not just one inning. Dude, what do you get tagged for 5-6 hits? They weren't all in one inning.
No, they had a lot of hits.
Yeah. So, like, it's.
And 3 walks, too.
Yeah. It's not a peculiar inning.
No.
You walked a bunch of guys. No. You gave up a bunch of hits.
Yeah.
I know a couple of runs weren't earned. You only gave up 3 runs. Why don't you just say, you know what I would love for him to say after one of his games is, listen, I throw one pitch, so stuff's going to happen.
I don't even know. I don't even know why you guys talked to me. Like, I didn't make any adjustments on the mound.
I tried to throw a knuckleball.
That's it.
Okay, you be a reporter, and I'll be R.A. Dickey. This is what I want. This is my ideal R.A. Dickey answer for what happened during the game.
R.A., can you explain some of the struggles you had today out there?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you something. I was flabbergasted by the capricious animal today, but, you know, I am 41, and I'm in advanced years. I drink a lot of Boost, and it's got all 11 herbs and spices you need to carry through your day, and it helps your digestive system. So I was flabbergasted at the peculiar game that was. However, you cannot, as a frog once has said, sit on that log until the sun goes down. And, oh, by the way, I throw the one pitch, and I am 41. So, I mean, you figure it out, dill hole. wouldn't you like that?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you like just one post-game press conference where he's like, it was just the one pitch. It was just the one inning. And, you know, it got into trouble. But I tried to arrest the damage by going into my repertoire. I have a repertoire. He doesn't have any repertoire whatsoever. And by the way, no one says repertoire anymore. Nobody. You don't have a repertoire. You got the one pitch and you're 41. So just say it. Just come out and say it. Enough of the excuses, as you say, the excuse, the trombone. No, you got the one thing,
yeah,
and you ride that horse until someone, yeah, shoots it. And sometimes someone shoots it, and you give up a lot of home runs, and you're not super effective. But you know what? He was effective enough yesterday. And his last three starts were really good. Not fun to watch.
No.
Hard to deal with if you have a heart issue. But, I mean, just come out and say it. Don't use a bunch of, yeah, big words and tell people it's a peculiar inning. You're a one-trick pony, man. We get it. And you're old. So, and I'm old. And I don't make excuses. How come this sucked? 43. Yeah. Relax.
I throw one pitch, and I just hope it doesn't get hit over the fence.
Yeah, that's it.
That's pretty much it.
I throw hope. Guys, what? Like, you've seen me for 3 years. What do you think? What happened? I'm 12-12 every season with an ERA around 4.
Well,
right? Like, you know what you're getting.
I love when they go, Ari Dickey's a great fielder. Well, because he doesn't fall to one, either the first base side or the third base side, because those dudes are actually throwing the ball hard. Aridicki just throws that thing, and he's standing, like, directly in front of the batter again.
Yeah.
So it's easier for him to field anything that comes his way.
Well, not even the fielding. I mean, he is. He's a good fielder, but the bottom line is that the excuses are starting to pile up. And he pitched? Just say, hey, listen, I pitched pretty good today for an old,
yeah,
guy.
I was
all right.
That
throws a one pitch.
Yeah.
Hey, what do you think you're starting? Pretty miraculous, dude. I'm still here. That's the unbelievable part.
I was fooling dudes in their mid-20s. Suck on that one.
Yeah.
To the bottom of the sixth, where the Jays would start to mount the comeback.
Troy Tulowitzki puts a charge into the first pitch, and it is gone. Number 22 for Tulo. Instant offense, and the Blue Jays cut the Twins' lead to 5-3.
Yeah, thanks, Mike Wilner. We'll hear from him talking Blue Jays at 8 o'clock. Devin Travis will then add to the hit parade.
First pitch to Travis, whacked over second. That's a base hit. Just over the reach of Dozier. In to score is Pilar. And we got a one-run ball game. The Blue Jays are down 5-4.
Yeah, 5-4 Minnesota heading to the bottom of the seventh.
By the way, you just played the Tula home run. Big mad love for Troy Tulowitzki for coming in with, I think, two out in the seventh. Where Feldman's struggling, a couple guys on. He comes in. Was it Plouffe or Dozier at the plate? One of the two. Anyway, he comes in and basically stops the game. Troy Tulowitzki stops the game, walks up to Feldman. He basically, from what I can understand and what Joe Siddle was saying in the broadcast, he says, listen, stop throwing away, bust the guy inside, induce a ground ball. We'll get a double play and we'll get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what he did. So not only did he lead by example with his bat, you know, what a treat for a manager to have a guy like Troy Tulowitzki on that can go and be a hitting coach and pitching coach as well.
Well, it was funny. Somebody mentioned that in the Blue Jays talk last night as well. You know, could Tulo be a coach down the road? And then Wilner brought up a great point. When you make hundreds of millions of dollars in your career,
you want to work for, yeah, 750 grand.
Chances are you're just going to, you know, shut it down and enjoy the rest of your lavish lifestyle.
Yeah.
It's 5-4 Minnesota heading to the bottom of the seventh, where Donaldson again would bring the rain, and he'd throw Jerry Howarth a curveball.
It's a high fly ball to center field, not that deep. And now it's pretty deep, and now it keeps carrying, and there she goes! Josh Donaldson has given the Blue Jays a 6-5 lead on a ball hit to center field that Eddie Rosario looked at going back and then all of a sudden turned and realized it was going to carry the day.
Yeah, Jerry throwing for a loop on Donaldson's 32nd dinger. 5-5 until the hero from Saturday stepped up to the dish with Tulo and Pilar on board.
The 3-1 pitch lined into right center field up the gap. That's going to split the outfielders and go all the way to the wall. Tulowitzki scores. Heading home, Kevin Pilar, he scores on a double by Upton. Blue Jays 8, Twins 5.
Yeah, so 8-5 Blue Jays. Yesterday was Canada Baseball Day, and Edwin Encarnacion had the three-homer hat-trick on August 29th, 2015, last year, during Canada Baseball Day. So it was August 29th, 2016, on Canada Baseball Day, and Josh Donaldson stepped up to the dish, Dean, with two home runs. Guess what he did? Hit his third.
All right. Fly ball deep center field. Has he done it again? Yes, sir. A career high third home run. Hats flying all over the Rogers Center down the left field line, now the right field line. The Blue Jays lead it 9-5, and congratulations, Josh.
Are you cool with the hat celebration? Because I am.
Yeah, big time. I love it. I think it's very Canadian. I think it's identifiable to us. We know why the hats went on the field. Remember last year when people started chucking their hats on the field when Edwin hit his triple? We knew what was going on. The ball players didn't, with the exception of some of the Canadian ball players. Like Saunders knew what was going on. He said, I remember they asked, Russell Martin, who's obviously Canadian, said to him, what did you think? He goes, man, I knew what was going on. I just didn't expect it.
Yeah.
And to watch people do it again, at the peril of never being allowed back into the Rogers Center, by the way. You throw something on the ground, that's a punishable offense by law. You can actually get charged with a crime. And you're also, no, I'm not even joking, because you're interfering with the field of play. So, hundreds of hats rain onto the field. And I was watching the police to see if what they were doing when they were standing there, because they've got off-duty police officers that stand on the sidelines and just make sure everything's cool and no one gets crazy. And they just stood there and watched. Like, here come the hats. I love it. I love the Canadiana with which that is treated, and the fact that Josh Donaldson, like if you remember Edwin last year, got a picture taken with two bags full of hats.
Yeah.
And Josh was super happy yesterday. Obviously, when you hit three home runs, you're going to be happy. But it was a great moment. It was a great day. Wonderful victory. And lots of good stories in between.
We got to ask Mike Wilner, who joins us at 8. He didn't like the hat trick celebration thing last year and then promptly apologized on Twitter 5 minutes after sending out that tweet, and then somebody rehashed it yesterday, and Wilner was getting more heat about that. So we'll ask him at 8 o'clock about that Twitter firestorm again surrounding Mike Wilner. Josh Donaldson's three ding-dongs powered the Blue Jays to a 9-6 win and the series sweep over the bad, bad Minnesota Twins. They've lost 10 straight now.
And by the way, let me, who the Twins have?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's hilarious.
Surprised?
No, don't care. Did you see the way they played?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
No. No.
They're brutal.
Yeah, they suck. By the way, I'll never complain about our bullpen again after watching that dumpster fire this weekend. I will say, and this is just me,
okay,
that I don't know if anybody, specifically with the hat issue, if anybody complained about hats, I don't know if there are bigger losers that you will find in your day than someone complaining about hats being thrown on a baseball field after three home runs.
Yeah.
So if you run into one of those people today, make sure you chastise them and make fun of them in public. Some might call it bullying. I just call it doing the right thing.
I agree with you, Dean.
Thank you, Michael Grange.
The Blue Jays also made a move. They DFA'd Josh Tolley because Deonno Navarro is coming up. Might be catching Marco Estrada tonight in the opener of a three-game set in Baltimore against the Orioles. 7 o'clock, Sportsnet, 590 The Fan, Sportsnet, and Sportsnet. Now, Baltimore kept pace by beating the Yankees 5-0. While the Red Sox were just crushed by the Royals 10-4 at Fenway. Jays 2 games clear of the Red Sox for first in the AL East and 3 up on Baltimore for first in the AL East.
Thanks, Georgie Boy. 725. Really excited to welcome back from the Talk of Fame Network, Clark Judge. We'll get into the Kaepernick thing. We'll get into Tony Romo's broken back thing. We'll get into Jason Garrett. Maybe some early season predictions as well. That is next. As well as we'll update your Twitter poll question. Should national anthems be allowed at sporting events, professional sporting events? We'll get to that next. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. You're listening to Dean Blundell and Company. Download the Sportsnet app in the App Store. Then listen online and on your phone. Toronto Sports Radio. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
732. Hi, welcome. It is Dean Blundell and Company, and I am happy like a little schoolgirl. The NFL season begins this week in earnest. And Clark Judge is standing by from the Talk of Fame Network. We talk football with him for a good 8 to 10 months of the year. He's had 2 months off. I cannot wait. I don't know if he knows this, but the Montreal Canadiens, Clark's favorite team, traded P.K. Subban. I cannot wait to tell him.
He probably doesn't know, right?
He's busy with OTAs and mini camps, and now we're watching all this business with the Kaepernick business and the Romo business. Can't wait to talk to him. That's coming up next. Also, your Blue Jays were hot at it this weekend. Say goodnight to maybe the worst team we'll see all season long, and thank God couldn't have come at a better time. Sweep the Twins with more and a quick update. Here's George. Hi, George.
Hi, Dean, and it's brought to you by Kia of Richmond Hill. Josh Donaldson had three dingers for the first time in his career as he powered the Blue Jays past the Minnesota Twins 9-6 at Rogers Center to complete the three-game sweep. Blue Jays ended up 4-2 on their six-game homestand. They kick off a three-game set tonight in Baltimore against the Orioles. Marco Estrada on the mound, 7 o'clock, Sportsnet, 590 The Fan, Sportsnet, or stream it on Sportsnet now. Jays two games clear for first in the AL East because the Red Sox lost at home to Kansas City 10-4, while those Orioles beat the Yankees 5-0. They're three games back of the Jays for first.
Thank you very much, sir. 7:33, please welcome to the program from the Talk of Fame Radio Network, my friend and yours, Mr. Clark Judge. Clark!
Yeah. The Canadians did what?
Hey, were you sad? It's funny because your name came up almost first when we were talking about the trade of P.K. Subban. We're like, I wonder how Clark Judge is crying right now. He's probably bawling.
I wasn't happy, but I understand it. It doesn't mean I'm happy about it, but I understand it. Listen, if you're going to play for that coach and that GM, you can't turn the puck over like he did. And I think either get rid of the coach and GM or you get rid of the player. And they got a guy who doesn't turn it over, is more disciplined. That said, do I think he's the better player? No, I don't. I think Subban is, and Subban's also younger. So I wasn't happy about it. I understand it. Does it mean I'm going to abandon the Canadians? Absolutely not. We think of going to the Maple Leafs Nation?
If you're going to do it, this should be the year, Clark.
No way.
Hey, listen, thanks for doing this. Lots to get to as the NFL season is quickly upon us this week. This weekend bore a lot of fruit when it comes to drama in the NFL. And I know traditionally when the season gets going, you know, even the Ray Rice crap kind of fell by the wayside because, you know, there's 16 games. That's it, 16 games, and it's inch by inch, and the drama of the season takes over. So, you know, you tend to forget some of these side stories, but these are pretty big ones. Let's start with Colin Kaepernick not standing for the anthem. Wanted to get your thoughts.
Yeah, I'm the son of a military officer who served in three wars, World War II, Vietnam, the Korean War. So I stand for everything. I believe in it. I also believe in his right to do what he thinks is best. That said, if he's really concerned, he's got the money and the wherewithal to do something about it. Why doesn't he invest in the black community? Why doesn't he do something for Black Lives Matter? I mean, I saw what his college coach said at the University of Nevada, and I agree with him. You never really get ahead by sitting for anything. Stand up and do something. And so I would like to see him stand up and do something for the black community. If he thinks that's the case, let's see some action. Plus, I mean, the one thing he has accomplished is he's made himself relevant again. Let's face it, guys. This is not a good quarterback right now. He's in danger of getting cut at some point. He's going to make the roster, I think. They could cut him and save the roster bonus, but that's minimal. He's got a guaranteed contract of about $12 million. But he's been regressing. He hasn't played very well. We really haven't heard his name other than, is he in danger of getting cut? This makes him relevant, so we're talking about him. They had a team meeting yesterday saying, we want to prevent this from becoming a distraction. Well, too late, guys. It is a distraction. So my feeling is, A, he has absolutely the right to do it. I support his right to do it. I would not have done it. I will not do it. I've had too many friends sacrifice many things for this country. And I think, B, if he's that concerned, okay, then do something. Don't sit. Get up and do something about it. And I haven't seen that.
Yeah, and this is him saying, I am doing something about it, and good for him for being convicted about something. And I'm sort of with you in that regard. I also do understand, you know, we just lost Muhammad Ali. Now, Muhammad Ali was no stranger to controversy and standing up for what he believed in.
Right.
You know, and we just celebrated, and everybody said wonderful things about the man and, right, you know, and about his conviction and stuff like that. Where does the reminder of who he was and what he meant to his causes and how we just celebrated the life of possibly one of the greatest athletes of our time and what Colin Kaepernick, and trust me, I know he's not one of the greatest athletes of our time. He might not even be a second-string quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, and that's saying something.
Yeah, no, that's why I have a tough time comparing Colin Kaepernick to anyone of Muhammad Ali's fame or prominence. He did so many things for so many communities, and I'll just give you a quick story that I heard from Ron Borges, the Boston Herald, works with me on the Talk of Fame Network, but he said that when we were at a Super Bowl, once he saw one of his handlers said hello, guy got on the bus and said, hey, listen, you know, the champ's going to be at this function tonight. It was at the Super Bowl Friday night commissioner's party. You've probably been to one of those things. They used to have them. And so he showed up there, and there was Ali, and Don Shula was waiting to see him, and Ali breaks off to the right. He goes into the kitchen. He goes, where's he going? He went in to shake the hands of everybody in there and say, listen, you know, I'm here to meet some people. We're supposed to be important. You're the important people. You're down here doing things. And he connected with everybody. He connected with everyone. And honestly, from my vantage point, Colin Kaepernick hasn't connected with many people at all.
Yeah, and it brings up another issue. So let's say this not standing for the anthem continues, mm-hmm. and let's say his production is minimal at best and he continues to digress
right.
or regress, if you like. And let's say he gets cut.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of controversy would be created by the fact that Colin Kaepernick might not play? And what if he doesn't start?
Yeah, I mean, I think that question will be asked by his supporters. But let's face it, guys, had he stood for those three games, we'd still be asking the question, is he going to make the team? I mean, they brought in Christian Ponder, and they brought him in for a reason. They want to challenge this guy. I don't think he's going to start. You know, as I said, based on whether he was standing, sitting, doing whatever during the national anthem, this is a football decision. And, you know, there are going to be people who say that if and when he gets cut, yeah, that's why. Like people said with Eugene Monroe, when he got cut by the Ravens, you know, it had to do with his stand on marijuana. I don't think he did. He didn't play. He got hurt. He played one game last year, I think. I mean, he was always getting hurt. So they're football decisions. Listen, if you can be a productive player, if you can win games, listen, you guys know as well as I have, you've been in general manager's office, personnel director's offices, they'll look past that. They will look past that because you can win ball games for them and keep them in business. Colin Kaepernick was a good player one time, a productive player, so productive that Ron Jaworski said he's going to be one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. Well, you know, he's not, and he's going to have trouble starting, and I don't think he will start, and honestly, I think he may have trouble making that team.
Do you remember when people had the discussion, it was this great debate, if you were going to start an NFL team at quarterback, would you want to have Russell Wilson or Colin Kaepernick?
Right, I do. Yeah, you know, it's funny, I was at the game where Kaepernick started against the Bears. You remember that Monday night game? And afterwards, I said, boy, it's a great performance, but I would keep Alex Smith because I know the upside's not as much, but the downside with Alex Smith is minimal. You know what you got. Well, he's not going to turn the ball over, and people there said, you're nuts. And to one point, they were right. I mean, Kaepernick took them to the Super Bowl. It's not to say Smith couldn't have, but he took them to the Super Bowl. But look at the staying power of Alex Smith. He doesn't turn the ball over. They're winning games in Kansas City.
And he learned how to throw a deep ball this year, too.
Well, that's true, yeah. But you know, his winning record stands and suffices for itself. I'd like to see Colin Kaepernick become a productive player because he's so talented, at least was. But guys, the last 2 years, he's 10-14, and he hasn't played well at all.
Clark, sticking on the quarterback theme, is Tony Romo getting hurt in a preseason game maybe the least surprising storyline of this preseason?
Yeah, so least surprising that Rick Olson of the Dallas Morning News, I'm plugging him, he also works with the other Talk of Fame Network, he wrote a column in the Dallas Morning News that day saying, don't play him. Don't play him because you're risking him getting hurt. You're playing Seattle. You're playing Seattle,
no.
And this is a recipe for disaster. Well, we saw what happened. I would guess it was going to happen sooner or later, but they really got to check their whole cards now, guys, because where they weren't protected with a second stringer, now it's Dak Prescott time. You know, it's Dak Prescott mania in Dallas. Can he be the guy? Tony Romo's not a young guy, and he has been getting hurt recently, and as you mentioned, this back issue, this is a problem. When the back goes, generally the career goes too. I think they've got to start looking very seriously at that position. Probably should have done a long time before this, and looking beyond Tony Romo.
Yeah, but let me ask you this: with this back injury, and I've had a similar injury, a compression fracture of your vertebrae. Jason Garrett yesterday said, "Hey, he might play game one. He's played with a broken back before. No big deal. He might be able to do it again." Is there any feasible way, or is that Jerry Jones just feeding Jason Garrett to feed everybody else?
I think it's Jerry Jones feeding Jason Garrett to feed everyone else. I mean, 6 to 10 week injury. Listen, if you had that, could you come back in a week and a half?
I probably could, but I'm a specimen. Clark.
Yeah, I know you're different, but Tony Romo was an aging guy. You're not. There's no way. I think we'll probably see him midseason. And then, you know, like you said, he'll probably get hurt again. So it'd be like Sam Bradford getting hurt. Well, you know, wake me up when we hear something different. Same thing with Romo.
Clark, season starts in a week and a half. Panthers and Broncos from Denver. Who's the quarterback for the Broncos for that game?
I'm guessing it's Simeon. I mean, you know, it's kind of close your eyes and pick your poison. But I guess it's Simeon. I mean, they're going to try to reproduce what the Jets did in 2009, 2010. You win with running the ball and playing great defense. They think and they believe, and they've got a great defense, the best defense in football. Okay, maybe they do. They believe they can run the ball as they did the second half of last year, not the first half. Maybe they can. And they believe they can win as they did last year without real production from the quarterback position. Remember, Manny had, like, I think, 9 touchdowns, 17 interceptions. But Manny gave him something that they're not going to get from any of these 3 guys, and that's the intangibles. I mean, he knew when to check out of a play. He knew when to make smart moves. He knew when to throw the ball away. I think they're going to have some trouble here with turnovers, especially if Sanchez were to play. But Sanchez is another guy that I think he's doomed as well. But in answer to your question, I think they look at it and say, who's the guy who's played the best in training camp? Well, Simeon, so let's play him. So I think he's going to open.
Clark, how tough is that for guys like Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, who they're paying a lot of money, and all of a sudden, how are they going to get that production?
Well, I mean, they went through it last year. There weren't great quarterbacks. It was Osweiler and Manning last year. They're going to have to simply do what they can do, and you make those adjustments. That's what, you know, where they call it a team game. You simply have to adjust and try to do what you can to help that team win. If it's not catching the ball, it's blocking. It's doing something to get you downfield, down the field, making that 5-yard catch, whatever. I understand what you're saying, but as I said, last year they had the same issues. Yeah, you had Peyton Manning on the team, but he wasn't the same Peyton Manning.
Clark, as always, greatly appreciate you doing this. Can't wait to continue in conversation with you this year. Always enjoy it. At Clark Judge, TOF, from the Talk of Fame Network. Thanks for doing this. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, one more thing, guys.
Yeah.
Canadians did what?
I know.
Shea Weber, get used to it. We'll talk.
Thanks, guys.
Talk to you later. There you go. Clark Judge, he's a good man. 744, your fail of the day, and some Jays tickets. We got some hot Jays tickets who are now clear 2 games in the American League East. The Orioles win yesterday. Red Sox lose yesterday. They are in Baltimore to play the Orioles. They're up 3 in a 3-game set. We'll get to that next. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Dean Blundell and Company's Fail of the Day.
That's when I blow it.
You blew it!
Oh, man. You know, life is like a bike trail. On bike trails, they have red flags when, you know, want to watch out. Jeremy Jeffers is on a really bad bike trail. Texas Rangers pitchers Jeremy Jeffers arrested early Friday morning on a DWI charge. If that wasn't bad enough, the 28-year-old reliever, remember that word, reliever, whizzed himself a couple of times as well.
Oh, that's greasy.
Dallas County Police said this happened at about 2:30 in the morning. He allegedly switched lanes without signaling, nearly hitting another car in the process. An officer at the scene pulled him over, smelled alcohol in his breath. His eyes were bloodshot, watery, and glassy. Jeffers admitted to police he had consumed 3 or 4 cups of Hennessy cognac mixed with Coca-Cola between the hours of 12:15 and 1:15.
I'm drunk.
Who on earth mixes Hennessy with Coca-Cola? Leave the alcohol alone.
Yeah.
Like, if there was a crime here, that was it. DWI, DW Schmei. You leave the Hennessy alone. You don't mix cognac. You put it in a warm glass and you smell the bouquet of flowers and spice. You let it go right in your nose and then you drink
correct,
it slowly. And 4 of them. Police then administered a field sobriety test, which Jeffers struggled, they said. The pitcher couldn't maintain his balance or stand on one leg, which is difficult to do. We tried to do it in here when we were talking about doing the story for the fail of the day, and difficult to do when you're sober. The problem happens when he started to urinate on himself doing the alphabet.
Been there.
A, B, C. Oh, hang on. P. Yeah, more P. As an officer then searched him after he urinated himself doing the alphabet, the officer's like, dude, you're pretty wasted. I'm going to have to search you now and book you. You're drunk. He's like, okie dokie.
I like how that was the sign.
And then that he whizzed himself.
Okay, now you're drunk.
Yeah. You falling over doing the balancing thing, that's one thing. Whizzing yourself, and it is. It's totally different. As the officer searched him, he started peeing again. Not once, but twice. Breathalyzer at 2:54 in the morning said he had a blood alcohol level of 115, which ain't good. Your report said he was put in jail around 5:15. He was released from jail. Issues in the past for him. 50 games in 2007, 100 games in 2009 for failing a drug abuse for a minor leaguer test. Like, you know, the like I said, the balancing thing, I get. Slurring. Mm-hmm. But man, oh man, when you whiz yourself twice, you're for sure drunk. Right? That's something. Would you call that a red flag?
I would say so. Yeah. And I like how the first time's like, he just peed his pants doing the alphabet. I think he's drunk. I'm sure he must have been very alert when they pulled him out of the car. And they're like, I wonder. Because I'm sure the car didn't stink of booze, too.
Well, it did. And sometimes, I think, as a police officer, you have to maintain the fact these guys are innocent until you know beyond a shadow of a doubt. So it might be prescription medication mixed with some other prescription medication. That's why they're slurring. Maybe the smell of alcohol. Someone dropped some Hennessy in the back seat and poured one out for his homies. I don't know. But when you urinate yourself twice, I mean, the gig's up, as they say.
I've been
schnickered,
geezled. Full disclosure,
wasted,
here. Blackout,
gassed,
were like
hammered,
were a few
pounded,
a few hours of your life
homed
you don't
up,
even know you live.
Geezled. I already said geezled. It's a good one.
I've never peed my pants.
Posed, wasted, canned.
Never peed my pants.
Jacked, hammered.
Yeah.
Who's the party tonight?
I've never peed my pants.
Well, then you haven't really partied, George.
Like, is that the sign?
No.
Like, that's like, I've really got it done, so I peed my pants. Is that the threshold I need to cross to say, wow, I really got it last night? Like, I peed my pants.
7:55. There you go. Jeremy Jeffress is your fail of the day, kids.
How hammered were you last night? Oh, I peed my pants. Whoa, you were really hammered last
twice.
Night.
Twice. I did it twice. Once before I got searched by the cops, and once while he was searching me.
You got it done.
He really had to go. 7:55. Time to give you some Jay's tickets. Caller number 2-416-870-0590. 888-666-0590. *590 on your cell phone. You get the tickets to go see the Toronto Blue Jays play some baseball. We will get to hour number 3. Mike Wilner. Yes, that Mike Wilner will be our guest after a weekend sweep of the Minnesota Twins down at the Rogers Center. They're in Baltimore tonight. We will get to that preview, and we will look back on the series and look ahead to the rest of the week. It's a busy one for your Toronto Blue Jays atop the American League East by a couple of games now. Boston lost yesterday. You're listening to Sportsnet 590 The Fan.